John. I mean, I almost don't want to, but we got to do what he says. It's not that I don't like the scripture. I just want to get going.
Hallelujah.
And if I may have to just take a moment or whatever, if I just break out into something, just it's okay. Like they say, it's all right. It's all right. John 3. Okay. Let's read it. For God so loved, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, but have everlasting life. Next part. So for God sent not his Son into the world to do what? Why'd he send him? That's right, that the world through him might be saved. And we know that Jesus gave us a new commandment, and that new commandment was that we how? The same way he loves us, we're supposed to love one another. Why? That's right. That act of showing love is the only way the world will know that we are his disciples. Okay? It's the only way. And I shared with you this quote from this book, The Transformed Life. Personal transformation requires radical change. It has been said that the only thing you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name. You, not me, may even change your wife or your husband. Okay. But I'll tell you something. Your life will never transform until you change the way you think. And one of the changes we need to make is in how we think about praise. How we think about it. Now, you know me, I'm not a deep pastor, but this may sound deep to some of you. Look at John 15. We're just jumping right over to John 15. Because you're going to see something here. First two verses, let's read them together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Stop right there. Jesus is letting us know already that there's some counterfeit sources and imposters out there, and they're going to try and turn you to them for your maintenance and your provisions. And Jesus wants you to know there's only one, me. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Then he gave us a warning, really, and we didn't see it as such. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth what?
More fruit.
More fruit. Okay? See, he said, look, in your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, bear fruit.
All right.
Bear fruit. Why? He said, every branch in me. How many of you are in him? So every part of you should do what? Every what? Every part should bear fruit. And the Amplified Bible says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. And we have to keep remembering, he said, every branch. And he said, every branch in him. So this applies to those who are, how many of you are in him? Okay, so say he's talking to me. Okay, you try to figure out, yeah, but I thought this was about praise. All right, Jesus said, every branch that doesn't bear what? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Are you there? Run your finger down to verse 15. And let's read that out loud. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the what? The what? You mean praise is considered fruit?
Yes.
But didn't Jesus just say every branch that beareth not fruit, he cuts away?
That's good.
You think about that. Every branch. So when you choose not to let this branch call your lips and your mouth speak out praise, you find yourself cut off.
Amen.
Cut off from what? Cut off for everything that God said concerning you. Why? Because you refuse to bear fruit with your mouth, with your lips. He said, every branch that beareth not fruit, he cuts off. And then the scripture said, praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. See, this means there's an expectation that constant praise proceeds across our lips. And it didn't say that there was any particular circumstance that would stop it. It didn't say, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, I purge it, unless there's a real good reason why it's not bearing fruit. See, we get stuck. We get stuck in that, in the scripture which says, in all things, give thanks. We're saying, no, you give thanks for all things. No, you give them in all things. No, but if it's a catastrophic situation, why would you give praise? Why wouldn't you give praise? Didn't Father say that I will work all things together for your good, for the good of those who love God and are the called? No, he said the called. Why did he say the called? He was identifying you. He was letting you know that he hasn't forgotten you. He said, if you are the called according to my purpose, and I love you, and you love me, then anything that happens to you, I'm working together for your good. So what difference does it make what circumstance comes? We should be opening our mouths and singing out praises and not give any thought to what I'm going through or what it looks like. I thought we were believers. I thought we walked by faith and not by sight. So why are we acting based on what we see? We are believers. I asked earlier, who's in Christ? You all said, did anybody here say, no, not me? Then we walk by faith. We walk by trust in what God has said, and we don't walk by what we see. Listen, I'm going to read this in three translations because there are three things about this God wants us to see. We read the King James, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. The Amplified Bible says, through him therefore let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Anytime you open up your mouth and don't let praise come out, you're not glorifying his name. And what you're really saying is, God, I'm not so sure you're really my father. Right now, I think I need to go on the Maury show and find out who's my daddy. Because right now, I just don't know. I just don't know who it is. Okay. The New International Reader's Version. So let us never stop offering to God our praise through Jesus. Let us offer it as the fruit of our lips that say, I believe in him. When you're opening your mouth in praise, you're saying, God, I choose to believe every word that you said. There is any other word in any other language that I'm believing more than what you said. The World English Bible. Through him, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, which proclaim allegiance to his name. You're saying, God, my allegiance is with you. That's what you're saying when you open up your mouth in praise. See, this is why God said share it in those translations. I'm going to read because I'm a little excited and I don't want to miss anything. That first, praise is an acknowledgement that we're glad that he's God. And it's a way we bring glory to his name. Secondly, praise is an indicator that we believe in God without reservation. And thirdly, praise demonstrates our loyalty to God and our citizenship in his kingdom. So anytime we refuse to praise, we're saying, I'm not part of your kingdom. No, I'm going over here because this makes sense. This is logical. I can see this over here. I can't see that stuff. That sounds like pie in the sky. You're about to get pie in the face because you won't believe God. See, praise is something that's unique. You know, either something is a thermometer or it's a thermostat. Praise is both. Praise is your spiritual thermometer and it's your spiritual thermostat. How can that be? Well, praise indicates your fire for God. It'll take your spiritual temperature. But it'll also do something else. It'll control your actions. Because if you can praise God, no matter what's going on, you're going to obey God in everything that you do. But if you can't praise him, then you won't obey him because you won't trust him. So it's both say, my praise is a thermostat and a thermometer. You need to understand that. And pray, you shouldn't have to be prodded to praise. How many of you have to be prodded to go to sleep? No, your body says, I don't go to sleep. You even try. You can drink caffeine, you can drink Mountain Dew, but sooner or later, your body is going to go sleep. Right? It's just going to go to sleep. It's automatic. If your eye needs to blink, guess what? It's going to blink. Why? Because whatever's going on with your eye, it knows it needs to blink. Right now, my right eye is tearing. Why is it tearing? Well, it feels stuff circulating through. It dries it out, and it's like, you know what? I need some lubricants here. And it didn't answer, Pastor Greg, can I tear a little bit? I'm kind of dry in here. No, it knows what it needs to do, and it does it. That's how we should be with praise. Any situation that comes up, praise should just erupt out of us because our spirit already knows that's what it needs to do, so why are we suppressing it? Well, it's just like, okay, my eye is tearing. Let me just wipe this away. Okay, that's fine because you're talking about tears in my eye. But when it comes up, praise God, why are you wiping it away? Because, God just said to me, Pastor Jesse, they're still praising. They're just not praising me. When that Holy Ghost praise tries to come up and you wipe it away, you wind up praising the circumstance. And if you're praising the circumstance, you're praising the one who caused the circumstance in the first place. You need to think about these things. And we say, oh, well, you know, I'm a private person. Right. And that privacy will wind up keeping you a lonely person because you won't experience the presence of God because you don't want anybody to see. Doesn't the scripture say, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with? So God is saying, when you get ready to praise me, you should be acting like you're drunk. You don't care. You don't care what anybody, a drunk person, folks, and I've told you this before, they don't care what you think. And everything they're doing makes perfect sense to them. They'll come up to you and say, girl, I heard Ron Mio. You're like, what are you talking about? Ron, how are you? They get an attitude with you, like, why don't you understand this? You know? They're drunk. They don't know. They're slobbering, coming down them. They don't care. They don't care. Walk down the street, wind blows, their hair fly off. They don't care. Okay? They're not concerned about makeup, fingernail, nothing. Nothing. Because they're too busy. Watch this. They're too busy being obedient to and giving homage to the spirit that's within them. And that's the way it is to be with us when we're talking about praising our Father. We need to be too busy going about giving homage to Him and allowing His spirit to control us. And we don't care what it causes us to do. We don't care. We laugh. So what if, what's the difference between a Holy Ghost dance and walking down the street staggering off? What's the difference? The Holy Ghost. One will hurt you. The other one will help you. That's the only difference. But we have to get to the place where we don't have any issues or any concerns, jumping on our feet, opening our mouth, and saying, Father, I just praise you. I just love you, Lord. You're good. Doesn't matter what's going on. I just don't care. All that matters is that you are still my God. That's the kind of praise that he's talking about. And that's what he expects. Because we are his children. He is our Father. We went to Delaware. One of our grandsons had a football game. Turned out it was first round playoff game. And they won. He was awarded the game ball. But see, he called me on Thursday. And he told me, he said, Grandpa, he said, we have a football game. He said, are you coming? I said, yep. I said, we'll be there. He said, okay, because our center is in Nebraska. You know, that's the person that hikes the ball. All right. He went to Nebraska and he said, and so now I have to start at center. I'm like, that's great. Really? He was like, it is? I'm like, yes, that's great. Haven't you practiced? Yes. What do? You come off the ball and you just push him away. Well, okay, you got it. That's all you do. That's all he did. Coach said, I was really nervous about putting him in this position because he was going up against some guys that were quite larger than he was. He said, but game ball. Why? Because we ended the conversation. I said, I want you to say this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said, I said, you need to get excited about that. And he's like, okay, I am. I said, I feel better now. But then when they see us, they come running and they jump. I mean, my granddaughter, she just looks at me and she says, up. Okay. Doesn't care who's around, doesn't care where they are. All they know is, here's grandma, here's grandpa. I'm expecting something from them, and I don't care who knows it. Well, that's the way we need to be with God. We don't care. And, you know, we don't have to wait for him to show up. That's why I'm not against lyrics and things, but there's some lyrics that just go contrary to what I've learned. I don't have to wait for Jesus to come running to me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So if he's never will leave me nor forsake me, why do I have to look for him to come running? In any situation, I know he's there. So I go, praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Because I'm not in this thing by myself. What's that song? No, Never Alone. Okay. That's about all the lyrics I know to it. All right. But that's all I need to know. So why do I get upset when something contrary comes? I don't. That's why last Wednesday, you guys weren't here, I got a call that my oldest son, who he and his wife have been disobedient to God, and the results were what happens when you don't listen to God. He came home from work, she and the kids were gone. So it was on our son, on our grandson's birthday, his oldest son, he let himself fall into depression, and he called his brother and he said, I'm killing myself. I came out here having heard that, and the first song that was playing that played was Every Praise. And I said, remember, I said, we need to play that again, because I need to play it for me. I said, I don't need to pray about this, because I already have a word from God concerning it. On three separate occasions, it was said to me, your children are going to go through some stuff, and you'll tend to be concerned about it. Don't be concerned. God will bring them through. I'm like, okay. Yes, I got it. So one says, I'm going to kill myself. Father, like the early church, behold his threatening. And then let me speak this message tonight with even more boldness, okay? Because I have a word from you that supersedes anything that he thinks he's going to do to himself. Because, see, what happens is, those of you, that's why you need to get yourselves out here on Friday night. What I understand is, when God said that, I had his epikazo. And nothing was going to override that. Now, let me give you this account. So go to Luke 1. This account of Zechariah when he got the great news that his wife, after, I don't know how old, I didn't research how old she was, but they were finally going to have a baby. I'm going to start in verse 5, but I'm not reading all the way down to verse 79. So stop thinking about it. That's a long passage. Okay. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest. Who was Zechariah? A priest. So that means he should be familiar with God and God's ways and God's MO. He's one of God's priests, okay? A certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. They were doing everything, Deacon Tony, that they were supposed to do. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Well stricken just means they were beyond the normal years of childbearing or child producing. Okay? And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, young people, that doesn't mean he killed it. I mean, he was just doing his job, just working and doing the things that a priest does. God, before God, in the order of his course, verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, I find it amazing. I'm not being judgmental of him, but you're a priest and you minister before God and you don't recognize God's messenger when he shows up. You don't recognize, and God knew that. That's why usually when God sent Gabriel, the first thing he says, don't be afraid. Because folks are ready to go, I'm out of here. This being just shows up out of nowhere. Leave your faith behind. But when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But now listen to this. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth, see, when the angel said that, it was as quiet as it was just now when I read it. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, this man had been praying all his life for a son. And now the angel of the Lord comes and says to you, fear not, Zechariah. God knows your name. He's not forgotten you. Your wife shall bear a son. Zechariah should have broke out into the most crazy praise that anyone has ever seen anywhere on the planet. He should have been praising and shouting so loud he didn't hear the angel say the next four verses. Because all he needed to hear, first of all, was that your prayers were heard. Yes, Lord! I mean, that. And then he hears, your wife shall have a son. I would have dropped all the priestly elements and been running all over the place. But what does Zechariah do? He immediately goes to his current circumstance. Discounted everything that the angel said, didn't even recognize him as an angel. Didn't recognize him at all. He has a question. He says, how will I know this? Now, he wasn't talking about knowledge. Know is also a biblical term for intimacy. He's like, how are we going to be intimate? I'm old, and my wife is past the years of any of that stuff. See, we have to learn how to praise and stop questioning.
Come on now.
Just because something comes up that seems a little outside the box, we have to question it. Well, let me settle it for you. It is outside the box.
All right.
God doesn't operate inside the box. You need to get used to experiencing epikazo. Because God was ready to have his power change, negate a natural circumstance. And we too busy thinking about the natural circumstance. Angel answered, he said, I mean, it's almost as if the angel was insulted. He was like, I'm Gabriel. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. He's saying, your butt should have been around here praising. But remember, he said, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he purges it. He cuts it off. So he said, okay, Zechy, since you don't want to give glad tidings, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Two things, folks. Why do we get upset because things aren't happening when we think they should happen? They will happen in their season, and we should consider it a glad tiding because God said so, and then just give him praise. But because Zechariah wouldn't do that, God was like, okay, you don't want to use your mouth to give me the fruit of your lips? Then there's going to be no fruit coming out of your mouth at all. And he couldn't say a word. Now, Bible says that Elizabeth conceived, so even though he couldn't say a word, he said, I better get to work. Get this thing done. You know. And even though he couldn't speak, he had to be meditating on those things, and his mindset needed to change, because after John was born, and then he was, you know, he had to be circumcised, and then the custom was you're circumcised, and then the name is bestowed upon him, and usually it's the name of someone in your lineage. And but Elizabeth said his name's going to be John. And all the busybodies said, no, no, it can't be John. Probably wondering, maybe she's really naming him after his father. I don't know. You know how folk, nobody in here thinks like that. Those others, you know how they think. But and then they bring Zechariah out. He's going to say. And of course, he couldn't talk. So he said, give me. And he wrote out, his name is John. Soon as he did that, immediately, his mouth got purged. And it started bringing forth fruit. Because right after he said, he shall be called John, the Bible says, then he started praising and prophesying. See, he learned a lesson. He said, this is what my mouth should be used for, praising. And I'm just going to tell you one more, and then I'm going to unhook, because I got so much more. Where's this note? I want to read this note. Zechariah, by not immediately going into praise, God told me to go back over it because he don't want you to miss it. He didn't demonstrate that he was glad that God was. He didn't demonstrate that. He didn't give an indication that he believed God without reservation. And he didn't demonstrate his loyalty to God. He didn't demonstrate that he was happy to be part of the kingdom of God. He was too busy being focused, or as it says in Proverbs, he was leaning to his own understanding. And his own understanding said, you don't have a baby when you're this old. Period. But now we have another account. Would you go with me to Luke 18? Get out a little earlier today. That's okay. I'm only giving you what he told me, and the rest we'll get. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass. Well, let me ask it this way. If all of a sudden, and I mean, it's happened. I would be in the middle of ministering, and I would just stop and say, who is that? Somebody's having a pain in a particular part of their body. And then someone will come, and we'll minister to them, and the pain will leave, and the people will give up a praise. We say, oh, that's good. What's going through your mind when the man or woman of God says, there's somebody here and you're having a pain or you're having discomfort or there's something going on in your body or in your life that doesn't line up with what God said? What are you thinking? Because when that happens, why are we waiting to see a manifestation before we break out into a praise? The minute the word goes out there, your expectation is that God is going to do something for this person, and we should jump up and start praising right at that moment. Because we believe God's not going to call a person down and go minute to him saying, that's good for you. We know that God is going to do something about it. But we wait until we see it to decide to open our mouth and praise. Well, that's what this account was. When Jesus, on his way to Jericho, came across a blind man. So he was on the side begging. And he heard the multitude passing by, but he didn't know who it was. So he asked somebody, he said, what it meant. And they told him, they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's like, wait a minute. I'm blind, and Jesus of Nazareth, who's doing all of these miracles everywhere he goes, he's coming by? Jesus, thou son of David! Referring to him as the son of David was giving him honor and praise. Like, have mercy on me. And they're like, shut up. He screams out even louder. Gets Jesus' attention. Okay, he's already acknowledged that he's glad that Jesus showed up and that Jesus is who Jesus is. And so Jesus says, bring him here. He's blind. He's obviously blind. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want? I know guys like, duh. I'd restore my sight. He was showing that he believed unreservedly that Jesus would do it. And then Jesus said, go your way. Your sight is restored. And he immediately started following Jesus. He immediately said, my allegiance is to you. When the people saw that the man received his sight, they gave praise. And I'm like, they had already missed it. They had to wait for a manifestation before they would start giving praise. Folks, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Why won't you just give God praise based on what he said? I mean, we sing all the good songs, every praise. We need to every praise when I think it's ready to be given belongs to God. As long as I see that he's doing something in my life. Oh, no. What did he say about your life? And did you believe it? Because if he said it and you believed it, you should be giving him praise. Because as far as you're concerned, it's just as good as done. Because it came, there is no other source more reputable than God. So if he said it, it's going to happen. Why do we go around saying, well, I guess this wasn't for me. Maybe I missed it. Yes, it was for you. And no, you didn't miss it then, but you're missing it now. How am I missing it now? You've given up. You're not believing. You won't give him praise. Why? Because you don't see it. What happened to the fruit of your lips? You don't see it Because your failure to praise got it cut off. Got it cut off. Not because God doesn't want to give it to you, but because you're saying, I don't believe you did. See, the fact that we're saying, I'm waiting for God to give it to me, is an indicator we don't believe that he already did. See, whatever God said, Kennedy, it's done. Period. And so then you act like it's done. You act like you have it. He said, I'm going to give you that 60-inch big screen TV. You go home. Okay, move this over here. Okay. No, don't let me move. Just need a little more room over here. Get there. You know what? Well, let's see. Let me see. This can't stay here anymore. Let me get this. Get my chair right here. Put it right. Let me see how this. Yeah, no. Yeah, now we got it. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Why? Because I believe that he's done exactly what he said. So if I believe he's done it, I'm acting like it. I mean, yeah. That's right. Go out and get the theater package so it feels like you're in the movies. Get your 3D goggles. Right? Get it set up. You want to make sure it's like you're at IMAX. So you can just, yeah, I like this, Lord. This is sweet. Yes. I mean, think about it. All you quote-unquote brides-to-be, you don't wait until you get married to go out and buy your wedding dress. You start putting this thing together 5 years in advance. Okay. You a bridesmaid, you're going to wear this, you're going to wear that, you're going to wear... Why? You know, you don't believe anymore. You know that on this particular date, you get married. And you act like it. And you get together and you do all those giddy things that are nice. Don't think the guys don't do the same thing. We do it, yeah, we're going to say, a few more days, right? Yeah! Yeah! I mean, that's what we, yeah. Okay. Why? Because we know it's done. And we don't have an issue expressing that. So I want you to think about what it is that's distressing or causing distresses in your life. I want you to think about the scholarship monies that you thought would have already been here. I want you to think about that tumor that the doctors say is in your body. I want you to think about that pancreas that's not producing sufficient insulin. I want you to think about those kidneys. The doctors say they need dialysis because they can't do what they're supposed to do. I want you to think about that heart, that irregular heartbeat, that you walk for a few minutes and then you're just out of breath. I want you to think about that inhaler that you have to use, especially during seasonal changes. I want you to think about that mortgage that's 2 months behind, and you're afraid that in month three, they're going to start talking about foreclosure. I want you to think about that child that's running around. You know they're sexually active. I want you to think about those things. I want you to think about whatever or whoever it is that's been, quote-unquote, rubbing you the wrong way. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about that job that God provided for you and those people that you have to work with. Seems like they don't lay their head from a hole in the ground, but you have to work with them. I want you to think about the choices that they're making that has negative impacts on your life. I want you to think about that coworker that every time you go around them, profanity is spewing out of their mouth, they're just making fun of your God and everything that you're about. I want you to think about those things. I want you to close your eyes and just visualize them. And then I want you to underscore it with, God said he will work all things together for your good. And then I want to see how you respond to that.
Jesus.
I want to see how many drunk folks we have in here. Body called the Holy Ghost. But you haven't drank enough yet. Your emotions, your decorum is still desensitized. You're still thinking about how you might look. I'm telling you, based on the Word of God, that regardless of what you're going through, God said he will work everything together for your good. He said everything. That means it doesn't matter what it is. All it has to be is under the category of a thing. It doesn't matter what its reputation is. God said, my epikazo will change this thing for your good. See, I expect to hear everybody scream out cowabunga and just go berserk. Take a seat over there.